He knows he is likely to die, which makes his recall of this particular verse from Isaiah 6 so much more meaningful. In the 2014 movie Fury, Shia LaBeouf's character Boyd Swan, appropriately nicknamed Bible because he often quotes verses from the Bible, sits in a Sherman tank with the rest of his crew waiting for an almost certain death in the final weeks of World War II. And as they sit there thinking about where they are and what faces them, Bible says this.
What we're doing here is a righteous act, gentlemen.
You hear me, Gordo?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this Bible verse I think about sometimes, many times. It goes, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 6.
World War II and what these men are about to encounter, along with not only their acceptance of their fate, but their willingness to do what needs to be done in the face of death, are a worthy parallel to what's happening in this particular portion of Isaiah. And it starts with seven words. Seven words that tell us much more than we modern hearers realize. In the year that King Uzziah died. Those seven words paint the picture of a dire and potentially bleak situation, much like the one that the Fury's crew members faced. For 5 decades, Uzziah was king, and his death prompted questions about stability and royal succession. What was next? Who would be king? I wonder if that particular year, that year that Uzziah died, was like 2020 for the Judeans. Because if it wasn't enough to worry about that, there were many more threats to their way of life. The Judeans faced the threatening encroachment of the Assyrian Empire, who boasted a formidable army with advanced weaponry, massive economic support, and a penchant for psychological warfare. Jerusalem, in contrast, huddled together behind hastily erected defenses, well aware of how close the Assyrians were, simply by asking each new group of refugees who entered where they came from. This is the reality that Isaiah lives in when he suddenly finds himself in God's presence. In a city feeling the pressure of an advancing army with significantly more resources, knowing that they are coming as the city continues to take in refugees from other captured cities, hearing their stories about the trauma that they have endured, and feeling as if there may not be any hope, all while in a leadership transition. And while it's not an advancing army with significantly more troops, weapons, and resources than our own that threatens us this morning, we come to this text similarly unsettled. 2020 has been an unprecedented year for all of us. This morning, we face the pressure of increased COVID cases, wondering how many more people will contract the virus and how many more people will die. There are continued effects that this has on our economy and then also on people's ability to provide basic necessities. There's unease as we anticipate a holiday season like no other for many of us, as we expect that we may not be with our family or be able to hold the same traditions that we have had before. And then there's just general anxiety about the future of those things and people that we hold dear. We wonder if our favorite restaurants and shops will emerge on the other side of this pandemic, or if they'll be forced to close I imagine that some of us worry about this church, our church, and if it will exist beyond the pandemic. And some of us are worried about ourselves or our loved ones making it through. Coupled with all of this is the increased tension here in the U.S. in the midst of our own leadership transition as we attempt to find ways to listen to each other and find what the way forward will be. We may not be facing the Assyrian or the German army, but we are facing formidable opponents. And yet, God does not leave us alone. God is here. In this community that exists across physical distance, phone lines, and internet connections. In the community that is gathered in spite of the difficulties of life. God is here in the midst of everything that is going on, still seated on the throne, just as God was there with Isaiah and the Judeans. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him, each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. God is here. And while there was much uncertainty for Isaiah, and there is for us, this story reminds us that there is no question about who or what we can trust. While the world feels out of control and experiences a leadership transition, God's reign remains secure. And it is a reign that focuses on holiness rather than might. A reign that does not destroy or discard those who are not holy, but rather makes us holy too, the way that God made Isaiah holy. God's reign is secure, always. Yet, this reign does not invite us to stay amid the seraphs and God forever, escaping into the safety of the presence of God the way that we sometimes need to escape into the safety of Hallmark Christmas movies. No, this is a reign that is interested in creating new life in the world and ensuring that all people are able to truly live, not just a few. A reign that wishes to see love embodied in the world and all people restored to their communities. A reign that fully intends to infect the world with something other than a destructive virus. Yet, that will come when there is someone to go. Someone to go for God. Someone to do the hard work alongside God, being co-creators in a world with new and different possibilities. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" That catch in Bible's throat as he responds, "Here am I, send me," reminds me that the work God calls us into has the potential to lead to our death at times. That if we are to truly follow Jesus, to follow God, to call for the way of love and forgiveness in the face of an army descending with military might, and to speak the truth where lies and secrets rule, is to possibly follow Jesus into death. And to even be ready to proclaim such a reality, we too must be cleansed of our sin. We must be willing to have a reckoning with our own failures and mistakes, and that promises to be immensely painful in the way that Isaiah's lips were cleansed with a coal so hot the seraph needed tongs to carry it over. This morning, the voice of the Lord asks us, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I hope through our blistered lips we say, "Here am I, send me." People of God, we have work to do. work that ensures all people experience the reign of God and the promise of love, forgiveness, and inclusion. Work that promotes reconciliation over tolerance. Work that advocates for the least, the lost, and the forsaken. Those who are hungry, those who are abused, and those who are left to die. Work that helps us and the world see that that thing we pray for each and every Sunday, your kingdom come, and that on earth it is as it is in heaven, is true. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Trusting that we do not go alone, that God goes with us.